Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of I Could Talk Cave Babe. I'm Joe.
I'm Sean.
And we have an interesting magazine today. I buy these things on eBay, and I saw the cover of this one, and it kind of grabbed me. And little did I know, when I was getting this magazine, I was getting two magazines.
Yes, you were. Yeah.
This is Wrestle America from the publishers of Pro Wrestling Illustrated.
America, June 1999.
June 1999. And it's got the WCW NWO War on the cover. And it's got like a Brady Bunch style photo shoot of like six guys.
Well, it just has a bunch of headshots. Yeah. But these, I think these are actually kind of goofy. These amuse me.
Yeah, like the DDP one you could tell is like a promotional headshot, maybe even the Hulk Hogan one. But the other photos are like, especially the Scott Hall one, it looks like he wasn't expecting to have his photo taken.
No, I think this is at a photo shoot, but it's like an outtake of a photo shoot. So they just, and some of these other ones look like they're ring shots or just, some of these are posed. And you got Goldberg, who just looks like he's just wearing sunglasses.
Yeah, he's like straight up, like not even like in a ring or anything. He's like backstage. It looks like there's like aluminum siding behind him.
Yeah, he's just at home.
Yeah, he's at the house.
It's like, would you call me outside?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Yeah, but Wrestle America, so just for some background, because we've never done a Wrestle America. And I'm surprised, actually, that this particular magazine was around back in 99. Because I remember it used to be Sports Review Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And then around mid-92 or whatever, they stopped doing Sports Review Wrestling, and they basically just made this. So they condensed like Sports Review Wrestling and I think like the wrestling, the ones with the years on them.
Yeah.
Like 86 or 87, how they used to do it. They just condensed those and made it into Wrestle America. So there are two magazines here. Technically, so there's Wrestle America, which, the logo for Wrestle America is
the stupidest logo. It's so bad.
Well, it's really, I mean, okay. Look, we love you. Victory Sports Wrestling and Pro Wrestling Illustrated guys, but this is the layout for this one is not for Wrestle America was never really that great. At least on the cover, it wasn't.
Yeah, so like it's very like it looks very photoshopped America in purple letters over the flag with the drop shadow offset being way off, almost like next to the letters.
Yeah,
and The drop shadow itself isn't even black. It's gray. And it, I don't know. It just looks bad. I like the font they use for the word wrestle.
Yeah, the word wrestle is great. Actually, I do like that a lot. But the America's, it's
very heavy on the bevel and emboss on the wrestle, though.
Yeah.
It's very, very heavy on that. But, I mean, I could let that slide. But the America looks terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So elsewhere in this book, we have at the top, it says, what does Undertaker's final plan to disable Kane enables ABEL.
Yeah.
Because we're getting biblical here. And they have a picture of basically the Undertaker picking up Kane for like a tombstone, but it's like the layout, it's so cramped.
Mm-hmm.
Like this picture, you could barely even see it just looks like a blob of bodies.
Yeah, I don't like it.
And then at the bottom, it says Rock Hunter, Taz Douglas, Flair Hall, and much more. But as I mentioned, Wrestle America is the main magazine. But inside, we get a special magazine, home of wrestling bad guys within a magazine.
We've done a bad guys, right?
Well, we did a Rule Breaker.
We did Rule Breaker, yeah.
We did Wrestling Rule Breaker.
Yeah.
And, so it's a magazine, a special magazine within a magazine, and it's a wrestling bad guy. So basically, it's a, you know, again, at this point, you know, in the publishing history of, I'm assuming in the public, if I recall, obviously, because this is what it is, but they kind of just condensed everything into a magazine as much as they could. They tried to condense these other magazines that they didn't print anymore. So,
and at $4, that's kind of a bargain.
Oh, it's definitely a bargain. Yeah, it's good.
Nowadays, a Pro Wrestling Illustrated costs like $7 and it's like one magazine. It's like half the size of this.
Yeah, so. There's a lot going on here. So you definitely are getting the more bang for your buck here. But granted, these, I think now they're all like glossy pages and stuff like that. So just wanted to point out on the inside cover, we got an ad for Hitman Hart Wrestling with Shadows.
I always thought that was a stupid title for that too. Hitman Hart. Why not just say Bret Hitman Hart? Or Bret the Hitman Hart. Why is it just Hitman Hart wrestling with shadows?
I don't know.
I don't like it. Never liked it.
Did you actually watch the, did you like the documentary?
I watched it when it was a thing, like when it first came out, but so I haven't seen it since, and I don't really care.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I need to watch it again. Well, no, wait, here's the thing. I say I need to watch it again, but I'll probably never watch it again.
I like watching, I liked it when like Bret Hart's wife was like yelling at them while like Bret was like in the locker room punching out Vince. Or
yeah,
whatever.
No, she yeah, I like that.
She was like yelling at Hunter, and I think the Road Warriors too. I think she was yelling at them for whatever. No,
I remember Hunter being, getting dressed down, and that was, that's actually a very uncomfortable moment. There's also the other uncomfortable moment is I think it was his son Blade is just sitting, because the whole time, you know, you see backstage there's all this footage of Sonny watching Blade, you know, watching his son kind of just chasing him around and playing, just being silly or whatever. And I think, I don't know how old the kid was. Maybe he's got to be like maybe 6 or 7. I don't know. But, and he's just, there's this part where he's sitting in the hallway just by himself while Brett's punching Vince in the face. And then Vince walks out and just, you know, walks by him. It's just a very sad, just a very it's a stark shot, you know, just a stark scene of just, you know, wrestling backstage and just kind of like, I can imagine being in that moment where you're sitting there just, you know, you're waiting for your dad to get done with some bullshit, you know, in wrestling. And he just punched the most, arguably one of the most important men of pro wrestling history, in the face. And now he is no longer employed by the company. But yeah, it's interesting. The mailbag, just called mailbag.
Yeah,
I do want to point out this one letter here, and it's actually kind of a good point. But at the same time, I feel that I feel like it maybe isn't entirely accurate in some ways, and I probably have to research it. But WWF expatriate, and basically, that's the title of the letter, and the guy's complaining that this is a man from Italy. Maurizio Cassani, and he is upset that the WWF has a European title but never runs cards in Italy.
Oh, well, he's got a legitimate gripe.
He's got a legitimate gripe, but I'm pretty sure they've run cards in Italy before.
Yeah, but probably not as often as he'd like.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that there was a Monday Night Raw in Italy because that's where Santino was picked from the crowd and he won the Intercontinental title against Umaga.
But that was in 2006.
Yeah, that was years later. Yeah. So.
No, yeah, but he is quite pissy about it, and rightfully so. There's also another one here about tag team talk, and it's basically, he's like, look, I love Ric Flair. You know, why did they have to put together a tag team tournament? Because this is around the time, because this is June 99, but I think the time is like early, we're right after, I think we're right after the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
So Royal Rumble 99. And, you know, so at this time, like, they put together that, I forgot why they did the tag team tournament. Was it because, who were the champions? Jesus, I can't remember. I feel like it was something to do with the NWO breaking up and, you know, some people not being, Hall and Nash not being involved anymore, but he's just bitching about the, these tag teams. He's like, well, all the great teams are gone. How longer will we be forced to watch Mangan Barbarian? Which I disagree. Mangan Barbarian are awesome.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Also Bobby Duncan and Mike Enos.
That was an awesome tag team as well.
I don't remember them.
Neither do I.
Also, he also mentions the tag team of Kenny Chaos and Bobby Eaton.
Okay. Yeah, vaguely. Because I remember High Voltage kind of broke up and Kenny Chaos was still around.
Well, here's something that I need to go back and watch this, because this is a thing that actually happened. That Kenny Chaos became tag champions with Rick Steiner.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how they got to that point. I just remember watching a Nitro and seeing that happen, but I don't know exactly why that happened.
The early WCW, like the early 2000s, late 90s, is kind of a blur to me.
This
I kind
before
of
that.
Was it?
Yeah, it was like 90. I want to say it was 99.
I think, even then. Yeah, I lost interest in WCW after like 97. So I wasn't really paying that much attention to it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm kind of working my way through that stuff. So I think I'm looking forward, because it actually ties into something here, because in the next part, we have a locker room report with Bill Apter. And he is talking about how Lex Luger sucks. And he's not wrong. And he's talking about how Luger and Kevin Nash are being shitty because they were harassing Rey Mysterio and trying to get his mask. And this is that eventually led to the match at Super Brawl where Rey lost his mask. And they're just like, oh, Lex Luger's got no heart. But I'm getting to the point too where I'm watching this WCW and I'm waiting for the Thunders to go up because they're coming I think this week.
Oh, okay, cool.
But I want to. I'm trying to understand how the Wolfpack actually comes together because I'm seeing it right now. And right now the only members are, I forgot about this. I knew it was Nash. It was Nash, Conan, Savage. Because Savage and Conan were Savage was pissed because Hogan, he won the belt from Sting in 98, and Hogan was like, give me the belt. And Savage was like, fuck you. And then Nash was like, yeah, that's bullshit. So now we're a group. And then they also brought in Kurt Hennig and Rick Rude, but Kurt Hennig turned heel.
Yeah, I don't remember the Wolfpack being heels. And why would they be feuding with Rey Mysterio? Why would Lex Luger be feuding? This whole thing's confusing me.
Because all of a sudden, because what happened was at some point, the Wolfpack. Well, no, they. See, now I'm confused because after 98 and 99, they brought the teams back together because this is after the finger poke of doom.
Yeah.
This doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
Oh, yeah, you're right. We are well past the finger poke of doom, I feel.
The finger poke of doom just happened.
That's why they're heels. Okay, that makes sense now. Okay. Well,
they're heels. That's right. They're heels.
Yeah.
And Luger's still wrestling in jeans.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's not.
No, he's got his trunks.
He's back to his tight.
Yeah.
That's why I'm looking forward to watch this, because I'm trying to understand why he just started just wrestling in jeans. For that period in 98?
I think in the 90s, everyone decided to go through a jeans period, though.
That doesn't make sense, though, for Luger, though.
Well, Luger did. DDP did.
DDP makes sense because he was the man of the people. Luger was just a dude. Just a muscular dude. And he's just I'm just going to wear these. And he's not even wearing good jeans. He's just wearing baggy black jeans.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a thing in the 90s. Wrestlers went through their jean phase. We should have a promotion where just wrestlers only wear jeans and that's it.
You know what? I like that.
Or...
Yeah, that too bad. Too bad you didn't have that as a BCW paper.
Or you do a jeans division where it's just there's a champion and the only way to compete in that division is you have to wear jeans.
Or jeans on a pole.
Well, that wouldn't make sense.
Well, the winner gets... The winner gets better jeans. You buy a really good pair of jeans, and then you put them up on a pole.
Well, then you need to have two wrestlers who have the same measurements.
Well, that's that you.
Unless you make them jean shorts.
Listen, here's what you do: you do a battle royal of all the guys that have 34 inch waists or whatever the waist we're doing here, and it's just those guys in the match, and the last two wrestle for the jeans on the pole match.
Okay,
for that particular size.
So, 34 inch waist. You'd have to have it'd be a cruiserweight match, pretty much.
I don't know. You could do that. I mean, I think the really muscular guys, they had big chests and small waists.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think you could pull it off. I think you could do it. I don't know how, but I think you could do it.
I wouldn't be able to compete in that.
No, I know. I wouldn't be able either.
Yeah.
I was only 34 inches.
I'm getting close to 34. I'm at 36 now. So yeah. I'm getting close. Getting there. But nice. Not quite. Not quite in the 34.
Brandi Mankiewicz, she basically took over for Eddie Ellner as the heel.
Oh, okay. Because I saw Liz Hunter's name in this book as well, too. She pops up.
She's in here for a minute, but yeah. Brandi was she took over as the heel writer.
What did you say her last name was?
Mankiewicz.
Yeah, there you go.
Not
Mankiewicz,
but Mankiewicz.
Yeah.
And I believe she is a real person. She is a real person. I think we kind of had our hands slapped by Stu Sachs.
Yeah.
Recently, when we were like, "Hey, I don't think some of these people are real."
Stately Wayne Manor also said that Bartholomew Appleby III was also a real person. So,
well,
whether that's his real name or not, I don't know.
Who are we to doubt?
Yeah. So.
Yeah, but she takes over and she's talking about, she's talking about her heel, doing her heel shtick here and. She's given shit to particularly Perry Saturn, because this is the time too, and this is another thing too where I'm actually looking forward to finding out exactly why the hell it was just weird that Saturn and Jericho would wrestle each other a bunch, and Saturn started wearing the dress because he lost to Jericho, but it was because Scott Dickinson decided just to start being a jerk to him, like the referee. And I again, just random ass stuff that like I don't remember.
Yeah.
So
I remember he said in an interview that he wanted to like just he wore the dress longer than he should have because he just wanted to be remembered as the guy in the dress.
Who
Perry Saturn.
Oh yeah, no, I mean that makes sense. I mean I'm trying to understand what the hell was the deal with Scott Dickinson.
Oh.
So you know, never made sense to me. You know, so maybe there's a reason. Maybe there's some logic behind it, or probably not, because it's WCW. Billy Kidman versus X-Pac. So they just basically did like a fantasy booking.
Mm-hmm.
And they just
I don't know if it was a fantasy booking. I think they actually had a little program, didn't they?
Well, no.
Or was X-Pac already in X-Pac was back in WWE.
Yeah, it was 99, so he wasn't there yet. They did eventually wrestle in 2001?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because after the invasion.
Yeah.
And so they get a bunch of these some of these current wrestlers. Usually it's just when they do these segments, they get a bunch of old guys.
Yeah.
And you have Afa, but then you also have Jerry Lynn and Steve Richards, who are both active on the scene. Stevie's close to, you know, about a year or so away from debuting at WWF.
Yeah.
And Colorado Kid's here.
Because, you know, Dan, they have the Colorado Kid's 2 cents.
Well, Colorado Kid was like king shit from like 97 to 90, or like 96, 97 to like around this time. He looks like a lost Von Erich.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, that could be like a David Von Erich photo.
He could have been.
Yeah.
He could have been. He looks like Chris Von Erich Jr.
Yeah.
So, and then we have our counterpoint.
There's Liz Hunter. I knew she popped up. Yeah. Eric Bischoff has been a success as WCW president. And the counterpoint, Eric Bischoff has been a failure as WCW president. And they just talk about, you know, stuff that he did.
Well, this is when the Flair came back and he wrestled Bischoff at Starcade to win the presidency of WCW. That bullshit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's I don't know. I there's a lot of nonsense in WCW that I don't really have. I feel like, again, around this time, I was probably watching more WWF.
Yeah, I definitely was.
So I wasn't really like following exactly what was going on. I mean, I was following it, but I can't really explain the nuts and bolts behind it.
I wasn't watching it. I was just paying attention. I was reading the results, I think, at this point. I wasn't watching it. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely reading the results. I was definitely reading at least a Nitro and a Raw recap.
I think I'd watch the first hour because it was like when Nitro was 3 hours and Raw was only 2. So I do remember watching a lot of that. But that's like if I was home watching wrestling on a Monday night. I usually like, especially in the summer, I was working on Monday nights like for the Bisons. So
I mean, you know, this is 99, 2000, like we're 19, 20 years old.
Yeah.
Fucking we're out there being
I
20 year olds.
That's why like I don't really care about Thunder being on because I never watched Thunder really.
Well, now you can care because now you can catch up.
Yeah. I'm good.
I'm gonna watch it. I'm doing my 98 rewatch in WCW and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying Goldberg's rise to fame.
Oh, God. I don't want to live through that again.
Goldberg is extremely overrated.
Yeah.
I will say that.
On Twitter, I put him as my number 2 of my bottom 5 wrestlers.
Yeah, your bottom 5. Well, who else did you have?
I had Viscera Mabel as number 1. Goldberg was 2. I remember I threw Bill Kazmaier in there.
Why would you? So are you just picking guys that just generally suck and just didn't like?
PN News was in there. Yeah, those were guys I just hated watching like on my TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I forgot who the other one was.
Got
a lot of likes on that. That was probably one of my most well-liked tweets in Twitter history.
It was a well-crafted tweet.
My dishonorable mention was Troy the Boy Buchanan.
Hey. Troy the Boy had a decent finisher, though. Do you remember his finisher?
No.
He used the snowplow.
Did he?
Yeah. I saw it at a NWA Upstate. I got to see him, and it was him and Eric Everlast and Jason Atlas and some other guy, probably Steve Cruz, and then like 8-man against like a bunch of guys, and he got the pin with the snowplow,
wow,
or whatever he called it.
Shout out to Troy the Boy.
Shout out. Yeah. That's a good day. Snowplow's a good move.
Yeah. And his snowplow. I thought he did the camel clutch for whatever reason.
Maybe he did. Maybe that was his alternate finisher.
I remember that
a signature and a finisher.
He used to do the hold the guy up for like 5 seconds suplex. Like he would hold him upside down a lot. He did that a lot. Like the British Bulldog.
That's pretty impressive, actually.
You know, it's more on the guy taking the suplex than it is the guy giving the suplex. Really, like he's just kind of holding him there. It's the other guy's responsibility.
Well, yeah,
to stay
but you
up.
Think about it. You're holding the guy up like vertically, and all his weight is basically situated on your neck and your shoulder. Like, I mean, the physics of a actual suplex does not make any sense.
Yeah,
like it really doesn't. You know, for especially a standing vertical suplex, like as Davey Boy and now Troy the Boy are well known for.
I guess you have to have the name Boy in your name to do that kind of suplex.
Oh man, yeah. That would mean what other boys are there in wrestling? I wonder if they had good vertical suplexes.
I can't think of any other
if
boys.
If you are reviewing this show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you review it, leave a comment and say, "Tell us your favorite wrestling boy."
Yeah,
and we'll verify if he has a good vertical suplex or not.
How did we get involved on that Twitter, by the way? Like, who tagged us?
Oh, that was my good friend Nicholas Prom, who is a host of a comic book podcast called Comic Reflections.
Oh, okay.
And he decided that he wanted to find out the top and our top five and bottom five.
I like that girl who was like bottom fives is Randy Orton times five.
You know, in 2017 definitely would. His 2017 was not a good year.
Wasn't he the champ at the beginning of the year?
Yeah, I know, he wrestled in that match with the Bray Wyatt and the Bugs on the mat, and then he wrestled in that thing with the fucking tractor.
I think the Bugs on the mat will be the greatest match ever.
I wish they would do that again.
Yeah, they will.
I certainly hope.
I'm sure after the feud with Matt Hardy finishes at WrestleMania at the Hardy Compound, they will have Bray Wyatt feud with somebody else, and there will be another Bugs match. It'll be great.
Ooh, could we call it a Bugs match?
What if Matt Hardy lures him into a room full of bugs, and he's like, "I got my own bugs," and then like Senior,
these are real bugs. You got to wrestle on them.
And then Senior Benjamin like locks him in there.
I'd like that.
That would be awesome.
What just by himself, or as a locking warrior in a room full of snakes?
Yeah, that'd be cool. Or you lock him in the room full of bugs, and then like Jeff Hardy appears and gives him a Swanton bomb on top of bugs.
I imagine it being a lot like that scene in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom where Kate Capshaw has to reach her hand through the whole thing of bugs.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of bugs in there. Yeah, I like it.
I haven't watched Raw or SmackDown since I got rid of my DirecTV, so I don't really know what's going on.
Oh, yeah, they're doing the final deletion as of recording this.
Yeah.
They're doing the final deletion, or ultimate deletion, on Monday.
Oh, okay.
So they're not going to make us suffer through WrestleMania. They're actually going to do it on Monday. So, and also, they're doing a women's battle royal.
That I do know, and it was a big, big hullabaloo because they were going to call it the Moolah Battle Royal, and then they're like, "We don't want it to be Moolah. She was horrible."
Yeah.
And then WWE finally gave in because Snickers was like, "We're disappointed in you." Meaning we're not going to pay you advertisement money anymore.
We're going to take our candy bars elsewhere.
Yeah. So then they were like, "Yeah, we should take the name down." So
yeah. Now they're just like,
and I like how like Mad Maxine or Lady Maxine came out and like,
that's right.
She was the like, she broke a big story about how Moolah used to pimp her.
Well, this was. This was something that she's talked about before.
Yeah.
I think people, yeah. I think they actually reached out to her for comment. They're like, "Hey, so what do you think?" And of course, she's.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was already known that Moolah, because Moolah basically, from what I understand, what I've heard, and it's probably true given everything else, but she, because Lady Maxine was going to be like the big heel in the WWE. Women, you know, she's going to be the counterpart
to Wendy Richter.
It's going to be everything like
she was going to be on the Hulk Hogan Rock and Wrestling. And then Moolah put the kibosh on that.
Yeah, and they actually, she did have like a match or two, but I mean, they really, you know, doubled down on her, and then at the last minute, they had to change it.
Yeah,
and no wonder. I mean, I don't think that's just bitterness. Like, that's just straight up Moolah being shitty.
Yeah, so. And I know Wendy Richter even told stories how Moolah would like steal money from her, and she like, you know, because I guess Wendy Richter trained with Moolah, and then Moolah was like, you're giving me 25% of the money that you make for the rest of your life. And then she was like taking her money, and then she had to go to Vince and be like, you're not paying Moolah any more of my money. That kind of was the downfall, beginning of the downfall with Wendy Richter. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and I did see for the first time today, and it's taken me this long to see it, was the Spider Lady switch.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before. And it is awkward as shit. And about, and I'm surprised why I don't quite understand why Wendy Richter just didn't haul off and just punch Moolah legit in the face when she figured it out the fix was in. Because she starts like the match ends, you know, it's a, you know, the shoot happens.
Yeah.
And then she just keeps trying to work with Moolah, and Moolah just kind of just stands there for a while until they actually announce her, and then she just runs off with the belt. But like, you know, but Wendy's like actually trying to work, like she's laying in forearms and stuff, you know. And so, you know, at one point she does grab her hair pretty good, but I'm surprised. It's surprising that she just didn't like punch her in the face.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, that's just a wild occurrence, and yeah, obviously, yeah. I mean, that goes according to this legend of Moolah. So ratings. So we have, so the way that they do these ratings in this one is that they split them up in WCW, WWF, and then they do like ECW independent. And so here's our WWF, and these end January 25th, 1999. So we're not quite into February yet. Figure Polka Doom has happened already. Yeah, and we just get our usual suspects.
I like how Wrath is number 9.
Wrath is number 9. And they also do like these little comments on this.
Yeah, yeah.
This is one of the things I actually like this a lot, but
Hollywood Hogan, not again.
Yeah. I also like Bam Bam Bigelow, which was, this was weird that he was in. I was surprised that he debuted here.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big pest, they call him.
Yeah.
Wrath, comment, you need a belt. Yeah, we have our cruiserweights in U.S. Cruiserweight getting a higher ranking.
Yeah, than the U.S.
here. So there you go.
Technically, you are the cruiserweight champion, whereas you are the world cruiserweight champion, whereas in the United States, you're only the United States champion.
Right.
So I guess there would be a higher ranking.
So in the news here, we talk about the Starrcade. And so we basically just get a bunch of Starrcade stuff.
Yeah. Here.
Nothing, you know, and then the finger poke of
the
doom.
The finger poke of doom. You see everybody hugging. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatevs.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of stuff that, you know, if you look, if you're around at that time, you know about it and about how.
Oh, they mentioned the LWO. I remember that was a thing for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Eddie got messed up and on some drugs, and he ended up having to go away.
Yeah, and thus went the LWO.
When he got fired, did he ever come back to WCW? I don't think he did.
Yeah, he did, because he was part of that group that jumped to WWF, the Radicals, and he was there and then left. Well,
he was a part of the Filthy Animals.
Yeah,
that's right. Okay,
yeah.
You're right. Yeah, but they're talking about this whole thing. Actually, I do remember watching this where Goldberg got arrested for supposedly hitting Miss Elizabeth, and then they had to rush him into the because he was supposed to take, you know, supposed to wrestle a return match against Flair, or not Flair, a return match against Nash for the title, and Hogan got goaded into wrestling because he was, at this point, he wasn't, he didn't, you know, after I think it was like Halloween Havoc of that year, he didn't wrestle.
Yeah, he like retired and was like, I'm gonna
be a president,
run for president. And then Scott Steiner was like, I'm the new Hulk Hogan, I got the largest arms in the world. And yeah, I remember that. And Hulk Hogan, I liked his idea of a flat tax. That was his big thing. He went on like Jay Leno and was like, yeah, I'm gonna have a flat tax. So like, he was like legit, like he had a tax plan already in place when he ran for president.
No, man. 2020,
yeah.
Hogan Rock 2020.
I don't think Hogan's going to run. Well, they're trying to get him to run for Senate, yeah. Actually. The Republicans in Florida, they're trying to get him to run as a Republican for Senate in Florida.
Yeah.
I don't know why, because doesn't Florida have two Republican senators? So it's like, why would they want to have him run? I don't. That doesn't make sense to me, unless one of them's not seeking re-election.
Maybe seek re-election. Yeah, yeah. He's not going to do it. But
no, I don't know. I know he's not. But it'd be pretty funny if he did.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe Brian Blair will run.
Ooh, can I vote for Brian Blair?
No.
Actually, wait, is he shitty?
I don't know.
Oh, that's right. He is shitty. He does his son fight. Or he fights his son.
Does he?
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know if he is shitty. Maybe his son's shitty.
Maybe. I got to imagine he's kind of shitty, too. He's the one who crashed into Brutus Beefcake.
That's right. No, he was the one. Okay, the story goes, because I've heard the story more so because he's been on Bruce has been on the podcast, Steve Austin's podcast more often lately. Basically, they were done parasailing for the day, but then Brian Blair showed up with some chick and some friends, and they're like, "Oh man, can we parasail?" And they're like, "Fine." So they set it up, and that's what. And then this, I think it was this girl hit him in the face.
Wow,
with his knees, and that's what's saying. Now, if had Brian Blair not shown up, Brutus's face would have been okay.
I wonder if he would have won the Intercontinental title.
I think he would have. He would have had that. He would have had a run. He probably wouldn't have gone much farther than that. But I think we've talked about this before a lot.
Yeah, because he was going to win. He was going to face Mr. Perfect at SummerSlam, and then he had to get out of the match. Oh, man. Yeah, I wonder what would have happened.
Mm-hmm. The NWO-WCW war, as from the cover, 10 crucial factors that will decide the winner. And they just give us a bunch of...
Did they ever have a winner of the war? No, they kind of just kind of...
They just kind of got together, and then they just stopped.
Yeah.
They stopped being... And then the NWO, like, B team started fighting each other.
Yeah.
And then I feel like, by the time, like, the middle of the year, like, there really wasn't an NWO.
Yeah.
And then when they did NWO 2000, and that came back, but that sucked.
That was stupid.
That was
like Jeff Jarrett, Bret Hart.
It was Nash, Steiner, I think Hall, and I think the Harris brothers were in there too. And probably somebody else.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the Harris brothers for what they are, but like, that doesn't excite me at all.
But speaking of these factors, I mean, just a lot of them about the basically Bischoff. This is all pure speculation.
The WWF is number 6,
which is what these magazines are. No, I mean, they were just trying to figure out. I mean, the factors would have been
Ted Turner's attention span. I like that one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Like, Ted Turner had anything to do with what was going on in WCW.
Goldberg's team spirit. So, because they're thinking that maybe he might go NWO.
Oh.
Yeah,
I got news for you. He was going with whatever they were booking him to go.
He was as long as he was winning.
Yeah.
I don't think it mattered. So that's what they're bringing up here. And then we have like a focus on WCW with some pictures. We get a picture here of
Horace Hogan versus Conan.
Oh man,
yeah,
barn burner that was.
Yeah,
we have also Barry Windham versus Prince Iaukea. Prince Iaukea doing the he just shaved his head and had the stuff at the top, like shaved it clean. Looks odd.
Is Barry Windham wearing jeans?
Yes,
there we go.
Do you remember this? Maybe you don't remember this. This actually really frustrated me. So Barry Windham came back. He was in WWF for a while, like in 98, and then he left. And he came back and he was to WCW, and he came back and he was just like he was buddies with like Kurt Hennig. And for some reason they pushed them to the top of the to win the tag team tournament, which was because it was the whole thing was it was like Benoit and Malenko were like ripping through the competition. So eventually at the Super Bowl, it was Benoit and Malenko against Barry and Kurt Hennig, and the finish always aggravates me because it was a 2 out of 3 falls match. And to win one of the falls, like Malenko, I think it was Malenko had Barry and he was trying to give him like the Texas Quova Leaf, but Barry took off the belt on his jeans and choked Malenko out with the belt while in this position on from his back, and the referee didn't do anything about it. And then he fucking pins him. That's how he went. That's how they win the title. It's aggravating as hell.
Yeah, you can't do that.
It's aggravating as hell. And plus, it was also a part of that whole thing where Chris Benoit never won titles in WCW. Like, he was like the best wrestler to never have a belt. If I think up to that point, like he won, except for the
won the cruiserweight, right?
No, he won the TV belt. Oh. Well, eventually he won titles. In 1999, he won like the US title. But in '98, he won the TV title for like 5 days, and then Booker T won it back. But yeah, at this point, and then at this point, we're like, oh, okay, great, he's going to win the tag team title. Because, you know, they're going against Kurt Hennig and Barry Windham, and you would think that they would be able to kick their asses, like from a kayfabe sense, they would be able to win. But no, it didn't happen. So and then we get an article about Flair being like, "I'm not old, I'm awesome, I can kick Ric Flair, or I can beat Scott Hall's ass."
Yeah, and Scott Hall's like laying on the mat.
Yeah,
because I think he looks drunk.
Yeah, well, this is around the drunk time.
Yeah,
and then we get a little story about Kurt Hennig while wearing jeans. The WCW databank.
Yeah.
I
don't think he ever wrestled in jeans. I think he always wore a singlet.
He might have had a few jeans adjacent matches as a part of the West Texas Rednecks.
Yeah. Wasn't he more the mouthpiece than the worker though in that group? Like
pretty much.
Yeah. It was. Remember the Wyndham brothers and the Bobby Duncombe Jr. Were
the Wyndhams had another tag title.
Yeah.
At that point.
And then Kurt got hurt, and then Virgil took his place.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It was Curly Bill.
Yeah.
So you do remember WCW 90.
Yeah, that. Well, I loved the West Texas Rednecks. who didn't love that group?
Yeah, I know. I have to go back and watch some of that stuff, but I remember. Here's the thing. The West Texas Rednecks were not nearly as annoying as the No Limit Soldiers.
Yeah.
That's the reason why, because the No Limit Soldiers were supposed to be the faces, but they were way more just getting on you. They can get on your nerves just because it was Conan and it was Rey Mysterio, you know, without his mask, and it just didn't feel like it didn't in execution. It didn't work.
And Rap Is Crap is funny and catchy.
It is.
So yeah,
it's a silly song. I love rap, but
yeah,
it's that's a fun song. Okay, well, we're at our wrestling bad guys part.
Yeah, we're gonna take a break.
Well, actually, you know what?
Or do you want to skip to the other part of Wrestle America?
Yeah, we got to finish the rest of Wrestle America.
All right, we'll finish Wrestle America
because here we are now. Because
now we're in the WWF. We had to skip over an entire section of a magazine. An
entire magazine.
And this is the WWF section. I like how that is actually kind of smart how they separated it with two different. They had a WCW section and now a WWF section. I do like that, and. They have their rankings right off the bat. And what's funny is, so Mankind is the champion
right
in the rankings. He was like champion for like a couple days, like here and there. Like, so they must have went to press while you like during one of his title reigns.
Well, this was after, so it was after the Rumble. He won, he lost to The Rock, and then he won it back at Halftime Heat.
Yeah.
So now we're at that point.
Yeah.
But he's about to lose it back to The Rock.
Yeah.
You know, we actually have a tag team rankings. I don't think the WCW
won. No, it didn't. So they have the tag title rankings and the Intercontinental title rankings, and there is no light heavyweight title rankings because it was basically Taka Michinoku, and that was the whole division.
Yeah, actually, I think at this point the title was retired. No. Was it Christian was the champ? Bill Gilbert or whatever?
It might have been Gilbert by this time.
The tag teams, this is something that I have to go back and watch. Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah.
So they were the tag title. They were a team. I don't quite remember why they were a team.
I remember them being a team. They each took turns as being the Blue Blazer. And then like they were both in the ring at once, and then Coco Beware was the Blue Blazer. But I don't remember them.
That was Mo.
No, that was Coco Beware.
I think it was Coco Beware.
Yeah.
Mo had a run with it, too.
I don't remember them being tag champs.
They were tag champs. Yeah, they were tag champs, like, at the beginning of the year. They were actually tag champs up until that WrestleMania. Because, that's right, they beat... Because Boss Man and Shamrock were tag champs. And they had Deborah with... You know, and then Hart and Jarrett had Deborah with them. And Deborah used to go on the apron and, like, show off. And I think that's how they won. There was a match where Ken Shamrock took some saltpeter so he wouldn't get a hard on. So when Deborah did that and it came up on their apron, he just looked down at his dick and went, ah! You know, because he to signal he was not being distracted. But yeah, so now but that day he won. But they Jarrett and Hart won, and then they were tag champs. God, probably I forgot who beat them after WrestleMania, because at WrestleMania they wrestled D'Lo Brown and Test, because they had that battle royal in the pre-show that determined who the last two people would get the title shot, And for some reason, it was D'Lo Brown and Test. And they wrestled them at WrestleMania. So, but they didn't win. I don't know. I can't remember who won. I think maybe it was the Hardys, Edge Christian.
Probably one of those teams, yeah. Yeah. Or the Dudleys.
Because at that point, because at that point, like, because Owen went on to do the Blue Blazer stuff with Godfather, and unfortunately, you know, that led to him falling. And then Jeff Jarrett was fucking around with Nicole Bass for some reason.
Yeah.
Valvinas. Man, WWF 99 was not much better.
No, it really wasn't. That's why I don't have any nostalgia for the Attitude Era. I don't go back and watch it. To me, it just didn't hold up.
No.
The Steve Austin stuff, the Rock stuff, that's all great. But other than that, like, there really wasn't much going on.
No, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
I think pretty much, like, outside of the main event stuff, all the other stuff that was going on was kind of lame.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think for me, the New Age Outlaws peaked in 98, and pretty much anything after that was, like, I don't know. It wasn't worth my time. Nonetheless, we are here with our news line for WWF, and, yeah, really just all this kind of stuff that we talked about just now.
Yeah.
Like, China is in the corporation. We're just before WrestleMania, so China... Triple H is going to turn on China or turn on X-Pac and then go to the corporation. So that's what's going to happen. And then what else here? Undertaker's final plan to disable Kane. I don't know. What else is there to say about this?
Yeah, it's just so they're showing photos of the match. Was it the Buried Alive match here? Is that what that is?
Yeah, that was Buried Alive. So that was December 98. I do like this photo here because there are actually some pretty great photos. The photos here are actually really good. Well, photos in this magazine in general are just very good. This photo I like here of – it's kind of like a – it's just a weirdly framed photo because they're in the ring. Undertaker is kicking Kane in the stomach, and in the background is just Steve Austin just kind of walking. Like he's just casually like walking by like if this was like a – like on the street. It just it's kind of – amusing to me.
Yeah, why was Steve was he the man or the referee or something, or was it a tag match? Who knows?
Because that's another thing about this. As much as we remember this stuff, and as great as it was, convoluted in a lot of ways. Because they basically I guess it's almost like it is today, but they didn't elevate a lot of guys outside of like those main four guys, and eventually Triple H got in there.
Yeah.
It was basically Undertaker, Kane, Austin, and The Rock.
I don't even really think The Rock.
And Mankind,
too. Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, yeah, The Rock was elevated by this time. Yeah, he definitely was.
Yeah, then like late 98, you know, he was already pretty much like The Rock.
Yeah.
So, but we get some pictures here from WWF event. There's your Harris brothers.
Yep. The wrestling, the Acolytes. They're still the Acolytes.
They're still the Acolytes. You got Steve Blackman and Owen Hart. A great photo of a backdrop happening.
Yeah.
These are great. This is what I like about this. These are like old school wrestling photos that you would normally see in one of these magazines from like the mid 80s, but they're from 99 and they look great.
I like the Gangrel Al Snow one where they're just trading blows.
Yeah, that's good too.
That's a great photo.
And here's one too that I didn't know this matchup happened at this time, but Triple H versus Edge.
Wow. Yeah.
I want to give a shout out to Triple H's long tights at this time.
Yeah, I like the long tights.
I thought his long tights, his DX.
And the dry hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, dry hair Triple H with long tights.
And he had some good color schemes. I think for the SummerSlam, he did like the purple, the lavender and the black. I think that worked.
Yeah.
And then he also did, was it red with the yellow lettering and stuff. That one was a favorite of mine. But yeah, you know, here he is wrestling Edge. Which,
I didn't know that was a thing either.
Well, so. I didn't realize that they wrestled, like, obviously they had a program eventually in like 2008-ish.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize that they wrestled this early on. The Rock gives Hunter a browbeating. DX will receive no corporate benefits.
They're just rocking that drop shadow with the fonts though. It's really distracting.
Well, it's a new invention probably back then.
Yeah, it really was.
So, but we get all just basically a story about how Triple H.
If you're doing a black and white photo though, you don't need drop shadow in your fonts. No. Like it looks really bad.
So basically, Triple H is taking on the corporation by himself at this time. All the other guys, like X-Pac and Kane are having their issues, and then, you know, the New Age Outlaws are nowhere to be found. So basically, it's just a lot of hypothesizing about, oh, what's going on between Triple H and, you know, what's going on with Triple H and the rest of DX? What's happening, you know? And China turned on him at this point. So, and then, and then we finally get to our ECW. You know, we have our independent ratings. So we have our ECW ratings. Sid just debuted in ECW.
So Taz is the champ.
Taz just won the belt. He just beat Shane Douglas at Guilty as Charged.
I don't even remember that happening.
That's another era that I feel like I need to go back to. Because there's this thing. I was a big ECW guy, but I think it was...
I was more 97, 98 ECW. By 99, I was lost interest.
I was 97, 98, and then I came back when they came for November to Remember in 99. So, like, the majority of this 99, I don't really remember.
Yeah.
I can go back and check it out, but, I don't really remember it. But then we have, ECW rankings, and then we have the GWA rankings. I don't know what GWA stands for, but we have... a mishmash of guys. James Proper is the champ.
I like the name for number four, the Mandingo Warrior.
Mandingo Warrior, who's the TV champ.
Wow.
Also competing in this promotion is King Kong Bundy, George Steele, Coco Beware, Tom Brandy, and my favorite spelling of this name here, Midnight.
With two D's.
Two D's, and the knight is spelled like knight, like a knight in shining armor.
And I'm not going to argue that was a misspelling. That might have been how it was spelled.
No, I don't know. Yeah, I'm 100% certain that is the real spelling.
Yeah, because I saw that somewhere, I think it was back in the WCW ratings, they misspelled Flair. But by misspelling it, they left off the R. It wasn't that was just a mistake.
That was a rare mistake.
This, I got to imagine, this is just how this guy spelled his name.
So
I don't know what the GWA is. I'm kind of curious.
Yeah, I know. I wonder, maybe it was like the NWF or what are those other random ones,
like the AWF?
AWF
with the round system.
Yes. Also, looking back here, you have some other smaller promotions here, and you get to see some names here that you would recognize, but they aren't big yet. So All Pro Wrestling, this is out in California. Mike Modest, Beyond the Mat, and Christopher Daniels stepping up here. Kristen Cage, this is, I think he was still fulfilling commitments in on the independent scene.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was still able to do that. Like the Hardys are still kind of doing that here.
Devin Storm. Yeah.
Mr. Stevie Richards is here. You go to that's the East Coast Wrestling Association, Independent Wrestling Federation. NWA Texas, check this out. Red Dog Beer Ground.
Okay.
Begnard. You know who that is, right?
No.
That is Rodney Mack.
Oh, okay. There Rodney you go. Rodney Mack
taking.
That's another guy who kind of just disappeared off the face of the earth, Rodney Mack.
Yeah, I wonder why he didn't.
He never, like, after his WWF run, he never went to, like, TNA or anything. You never saw him again.
Well, I think he started training people, like him and Jazz started training people, like, for school, and I think they still do. But, yeah, he actually had... Well, there was a point where he was supposed to come back when they brought back ECW, but they never brought him back.
Oh.
He wasn't bad.
No, he was all right.
He has one of my favorite connections to a wrestling video game, because when he debuted, he wrestled a match. This is before he... Oh, no, he started out as like a charge of, like, Teddy Long. He debuted against Al Snow on, like, a Raw, and he won with a spectacularly botched Tiger Bomb. Like, the way he dropped the guy, like, he dropped him, like, sideways. It was ugly. So when he was put into Here Comes the Pain that year, they used that animation as his finisher. I don't know how they were able to recreate it safely, but they did.
Well, I mean, you know, they're programmers. That's what they
do. That's true. They do. CWA. So this is a German promotion.
Yeah, there's a guy named Ecky Eckstein.
I like that.
That's a great name.
But also, we have matches from Ice Train versus Hiroyoshi Tenzan, which is a weird pairing, and Big Titan versus Rambo.
I don't know who Rambo is.
Well, I think Rambo was Recon in the Truth Commission.
Oh, okay, cool.
And Big Titan, of course, is Rick Bogner, a.k.a. Fake Razor.
Yeah.
So there's a dream match.
Who I wish had a he should have had a better career outside of being Fake Razor.
He should have, but yeah, I think Fake Razor kind of took the wind out of him.
Yeah.
I think we could probably say that's it, because they have a story in here about Shane Douglas and Taz. We got a picture of Lance Storm. That's it for the Wrestle America proper.
So, we are going to take a break. I'm looking at the amount of time we recorded. There's going to be a couple minutes here and there edited out, but should we make this a two-part episode? Or?
I think so. I think we should stop what we're doing, and we should come back and just talk about the wrestling bad guys. And yeah. It'll be a shorter one, but it'll be it's chock full of wrestling bad guys.
We're going to end this episode right now of Wrestle America from 1999. Was it June 1999? I don't remember. But yeah, June 99. So yeah, do all your normal stuff that you would normally do. Rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. They have rating on Stitcher now, right?
I think there's ratings all the place.
Yeah, if you're listening to us on Stitcher, please rate us on Stitcher, because that helps out as well. I heard another podcast say, rate us on whatever you're listening to, and I think that's good advice. You should do that.
That's fantastic advice.
Because not a lot of people, I mean, a lot of people do listen to us on Apple Podcasts, but some people listen to us on Stitcher. That's actually where I listen to us. Yeah, I listen to my own podcast, and I do it on Stitcher. I'm going to rate us 5 stars on Stitcher. I hope you do the same.
Rate us wherever you get us.
Yeah.
And follow us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Angry Hero Sean.
I'm at Sweatpants Joe on Twitter and Instagram. Also, look me on YouTube at Sweatpants Joe Eats. I got my new channel going, and it's a lot of fun. I'm eating a lot of good food. And I'm enjoying interacting with the YouTube community. Has been very friendly with me, and has been very I'm happy with them.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
So until next time, we'll quote a wrestler. We'll go back to doing that. Let's do DDP.
Self high five.